Good morning and welcome to Monday Manna, the fourth day of July. And so happy 4th of July to you. Happy Independence Day is probably more correct, but irregardless, I hope you have a wonderful day and you get the opportunity to spend it with your family. Thank you for joining me and spending a little bit of time, I pray, in God's Word as we are absolutely going to finish Proverbs chapter 22, I hope. Well, anyway, why don't we start with prayer, and then we'll jump right into Proverbs chapter 22, verse 16. So let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for the treasure of your word. It's so rich and fruitful for our lives. And Lord, there's so much depth to it. Reminds me of the gold rush. That it's like when there was gold that was found in California. Is, man, people rushed out there to get it. And they would find gold, and in some cases, but others would not. But Lord, when we seek you, we find you, the riches of your word go on and on and on. And so we ask that you would take those riches, those nuggets of truth, if you would, Lord, and shape those into our hearts and our minds. That's the things that we dwell on regularly, that, Lord, we turn to redirect our thinking. So we ask for your blessing in our time now. Thank you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. So let's just jump into, Proverbs chapter 22, beginning verse 16. Whoever oppresses the poor to increase his own wealth or gives to the rich will only come to poverty. Well, that's a weighty passage to start with, right? But, you know, the simple part of it is do not pursue personal gain at the expense of others. You know, God says, don't take advantage of others. And so some of us absolutely have. We know that we have. And so we've caused others to suffer for what we would refer to as our personal gain. And then we try to justify it. But the Lord is saying, don't take advantage of others for your own gain. And equally detrimental would be only favoring the rich. Well, why do people just favor wealthy people? Because they hope to get some benefit out of that. You know, that's the typical nature of it. But God says, no, there's something more to this. Because if you're doing those things, the end game is poverty. And, you know, as we think about that, it's not necessarily physical or material poverty that we're talking about. But if that's the character of your life and the way that you take advantage of people or that you only focus on the wealthy, both of those people are going to recognize what you have done and they're going to separate themselves from you. And so the form of poverty I think that the Word of God is referring to here is loneliness. You know, that we would be separated from the people that we have relationships with and because we haven't cared for them well. But you know, there's one that was separated and he knew that it was going to be, that was going to happen. He knew he was going to live in poverty. And of course that was Jesus. He didn't even have a pillow to lay his head on. His trust was fully in the Lord in the ways that he would provide for him because Jesus didn't need anything from this world. This world was broken, and he came to heal the hearts and heal the broken spirits, and, of course, give them the greatest riches that they could ever have, and that's eternal life in his kingdom. One of the examples of that, I think, is clearly identified in Luke chapter 5, beginning verse 27 through 32. Just listen as I read. It says, after this, he went out and saw a tax collector named Levi, sitting at the tax booth, and he said to him, follow me. And leaving everything, he rose and followed him. Whoa! So obviously there was something that was appealing to Jesus, but it was more than what he was doing. And as a tax collector, what he was doing is he wasn't thought real well, because what tax collectors typically would do is they wouldn't just collect the tax and receive their wage, they would overtax. And so they took advantage of people. right? So we have to understand the context of this man, but that's the man that Jesus says, I want to change your life. I want you to come and follow me. And all of this deception, all of this opportunity for your personal gain that's, I know, is weighing you down, is that there's a sickness in your life and I want to heal that. Well, what does he do? He responds. He goes, okay, Lord, you're inviting me to come follow you. I'm going to follow you. So watch this. And it says, and Levi made a great feast in his house, and there was a large company of tax collectors and others reclining at the table with him. So who are his friends? Other tax collectors, all right? It's not, you know, people, and there was, there was a bunch of them. So who did they have friendship with? The people that were doing the same thing. But yet he said, hey, there's this guy that I want you to meet. His name is Jesus, and we want to gather together. But then there were some other people that showed up. And the Pharisees and their scribes grumbled at his disciples, saying, why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners? So here come the Pharisees saying, hey, this isn't what righteousness is all about. You don't go and collaborate with tax collectors and these type of people. And they're grumbling to the disciples. And so how do they respond? Well, they don't. And Jesus answered them. So Jesus speaks. It's the word of God that speaks, that changes things. So the question is am I listening and hearing the word of God? So listening just means I'm hearing the words, right? Hearing, though, the implication of hearing is that I'm applying that to my life. And so this is what Jesus says. He's trying to get their attention of understanding what's happening with Levi and the people that are in the same line of business of taking advantage of other people. And Jesus answered them, the Pharisees and the scribes, and he says, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick, I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Those who recognize their sin. And that's what Jesus was doing. He was saying, I have come to meet you where you are so that I might rescue you from where you are, to bring you to a place of true relationship. Relationship with the King of Kings. Because it's not about possessions. It's not about opportunity. It's about this love relationship of being obedient in following him. So let's go on. Verse 17 through 21. It says, incline your ear and hear the words of the wise and apply your heart to my knowledge, for it will be pleasant if you keep them within you. If all of them are ready on your lips, that your trust may be in the Lord. I have made them known to you, even to you. I have made them known to you today, even to you. Have I not written for you 30 sayings of counsel and knowledge to make you know what is right and true, that you may give a true answer to those who sent you? So here, Solomon, in his instruction for us, this thing of trying to communicate to us what God has for us, is God wants for us to both listen and to hear, to embrace what he's saying, what his word says, and then do the word of God. Because as we live the word of God, what happens is the word of God shapes our countenance, because it's God's truth that spills out of us. And so people are blessed by the character of God and his love for us, but that love pours out from us to them. And God says, I want you to be my ambassadors. I want you to be speaking for me. So what is it that he wants? Well, let's keep reading verse 22, because we're going to finish chapter 22 today. So here's the instruction. Here's the things that I want you to listen to and obey that will change your countenance, your life, just like the physician changes the life of the tax collector, the one who takes the opportunists, if you will. And so this is what Solomon is saying. He says, do not rob the poor because he is poor, or crush the afflicted at the gate. For the Lord will plead their cause and rob of life those who rob them. Whoa, so, you know, it costs us when we take advantage of others. Make no friendship with a man given to anger, nor go with a wrathful man, lest you learn his ways and entangle yourself in a snare. Be not one of those who give pledges, who put up security for debts. You know, don't be a cosigner. If you have nothing with which to pay, why should your bed be taken from under you? Because there's a great opportunity for you to lose whatever it is that you might put up for collateral. Do not move the ancient landmark that your fathers have set. You know, don't change the things that God has done for your benefit. No, leave his word in context. Then finally, verse 29, do you see a man skillful in his work? He will stand before kings, and he will not stand before obscure men. So God says, you know, if you embrace my word, you listen and you hear and you follow, you'll stand before kings. In this particular case, the greatest king of all, the King of Kings, his name is Jesus. And that's where we want to be. So God bless you and thank you for joining me today, and have a great fourth. We'll be right back.